Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 97 of Internet Marketing. I'm joined in the studio by, once again, Mr. Kelvin Newman.
Hello.
And Mr. Graham Benstead, the prodigal son, who has returned.
Hi.
And it's a news and tools today. What are we talking about?
Yeah, basically there's sort of three topics that we wanted to cover off today, me and Graham. We're having a bit of a chat about what we thought were the most interesting things going on at the moment that people might well be interested in. I wanted to start off by talking about Blekko. Now, that's spelt B-L-K-K-O. Now, this is a new search engine. Those of you who are premium subscribers, I've talked about it a little bit already.
It's not a tropical disease.
Not a tropical disease, okay. No. Basically, it's a brand new search engine that they're quite clever in their approach. They're not, their aim isn't to beat Google. You hear all these new search engines start, and our aim is to beat Google. Their aim is just to become the third biggest search engine, which I think is quite an impressive aim. Now, what's interesting about the way that they present their results is they talk about slashing the web. So a big part of how their search engine works is that people can specify certain websites within a slash, so i.e. a theme. Mm. So I can search on Blekko. If I do Blekko, Kelvin Newman as a search term, but then put slash tech blogs, it would only search within the websites that people have determined as tech blogs. Or if I put Java slash code,
yeah,
I would get the Java coding rather than Java the country. So there's a kind of crowdsourcing of categorization of websites that can help you make more accurate searches. So that's quite interesting as a compelling option. Anyway.
So it has a sort of syntax. You sort of slash and then the thing that narrows it down a bit more after the slash.
So, I mean, you need to get your head round what those predefined options are.
Mm.
And it's only going to appeal to a certain group of people, I would have thought, maybe an advanced user rather than a kind of general punter. But I know that can be annoying. So for example, if someone set up a slash review and it only had review sites in it, then I was looking for a review of the product, and I know that I'm then going to lose all the ones where there aren't actually reviews on the site, you know, those kind of horrible websites that sort of exist to trick you into thinking they've got a review there. That would be really useful. So on the one hand, an interesting website worth checking out there as a search engine, but the reason I think it's really, really worth mentioning on the show is that they've got some really good built-in SEO tools. So when you search for any result, you get your usual result. And then on Google, you get things like cached and similar and all that kind of thing. Little blue links that aren't that high profile, but if you click, they give you a little bit more information about the search result. Well, in Blekko, what they do is there's one there called SEO. And when you click that, you get all kinds of interesting SEO information about that website. Now, worth doing straight away for your own website, because it will tell you some interesting stats about how many pages you've got, errors, all the types of things you might get in Google Webmaster Tools, but a little bit more there. But you can also then start to make comparisons about kind of link data, how often you were crawled, how big your page sizes are compared to your competitors, and all kinds of great little goodies there. So I did a little screencast for the premium subscribers on how to use it, but actually anyone who isn't a subscriber, go have a look at Blekko. Put in your website name, look at the SEO stats it kicks back for you, and have a bit of a play, because there's quite a lot of interesting information there. And I know people really love it when we share tools, and that's one that's really been sort of like rocking my world at the moment in terms of great information, free from a search engine. So you would hope that they've probably got a bit clearer idea of what the other search engines are looking at, because it's built by search engineers. They've got that kind of similar mindset there. And yeah, whether Blecko takes over as a big search engine or not, I sort of don't think really matters. I think what's really interesting is for us internet marketers to go and have a look at it, see what data they can share and what we can get from that, and then use that to come up with a bit better strategies for it as well.
It sounds like it's coming in from a very specific angle. How long has it been? You might have already said this, but forgive me, I'm twiddling.
It's only really been out of beta for a matter of weeks now, not even a month.
Okay.
I think it's probably a fortnight from today, maybe 3 weeks or so.
Okay.
So relatively new.
Today being the 24th of November recording.
Yeah. And I think in their first week, they were dealing with 1 million queries a day.
Isn't
a lot in the scheme of like what Google and Bing and all those kind of people deal with. But in terms of a brand new service, and most search engines that launch just get no traction whatsoever, it's quite good that they're doing that well. What they haven't broken down in that million is how many were repeat, how many are people doing lots of searches. So if I was searching for 20 different websites, was that part of the million? Was it a million searches, 1 million searchers, you know, all that kind of usual ambiguity about figures when people put them out. But it's made some good traction already. So yeah, I mean, then another sort of new tool that we sort of came across, and Graham introduced me this morning, was Rockmelt, which is an interesting name. When Graham asked me about it, it's like I've heard the name so many times, but I hadn't really got around to sussing out what it was about. I mean,
is that Rockmelt or Rockmelt?
Rockmelt.
Rockmelt.
Like
okay.
Ice melts.
Mm. If I could do one of those heavy metal voices.
Rockmelt. Rockmelt.
It does sound like a Norwegian radio station, yeah.
Yeah, I very, very quickly warmed to it because of that.
Was that a joke? You warmed to it?
No. Thanks.
Sorry, Graham. Carry on.
Hey, that's cool. I was sent an invitation.
Okay.
Invitation only?
I think it is, isn't it? Like a private,
as far as I know,
beta at the moment.
That's the only way that I got to it. Last night, and installed it overnight. Actually, not a huge file, but I think perhaps it's kind of gaining that traction, and perhaps that there are some quite a few people hitting that server. But so it's a new browser.
Okay.
Based on the same. Technology is Chrome.
Okay, so Google kind of Chrome. Same as Safari and all similar kind of. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Who's behind it?
Oh, goodness.
Do we know?
A startup, Rockmelt, based in California, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose you could describe it. Did you ever use, what was it called?
Flock, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I remember Flock. I never used it though.
Flock, it was a charming little browser. You know, it was very, so it had all sorts of lovely social tools integrated into it. And really, Rockmelt is to Google Chrome, I suppose, as Flock was to Firefox.
So the idea is that kind of you've got your basic browser, so you've got Internet Explorer, you've got Firefox, you've got Chrome, and you've got Safari if you're on the Mac. Now what Rockmelt is trying to do is take that usual experience but kind of add a social layer to that.
Yeah, absolutely. All of the tools are right there in front of you. Yeah. So in some ways, for me, it's a browser for people who can sort of deal with distraction, you know, on the both the left and the right sides of the the window. You have all the tools that you might be using, so everything from Facebook chat to Twitter to and they're adding new tools all the time. So for example, Google Chat, there'll be
it's quite a busy sort of interface though, isn't it?
It's very busy. Yeah, especially when your people are bothering you all the time. And if you use the same sort of Facebook page for your work as you do sort of socially, you know, especially if you're trying to get any work done, you might be expecting to get, you know, 3 or 4 Facebook friends, you know, from school bothering you all the time.
So ideal for corporates then?
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I think my problem with it is it's kind of like Flock was, which didn't really take off, which was a similar kind of concept, but built around Firefox rather than built around Chrome. I think it's almost like a solution looking for a problem. It's not like I think, well, I'm enjoying browsing this page, but what would be brilliant is if I didn't have to switch to another tab to go to Facebook.
Yeah, I suppose with the introduction of, some time ago now, Facebook chat, of course, if you're using all the different tabs which we use these days, you can miss out on lots of chat.
Yeah.
And in some ways, that's great because we've all got work to do. But, you know, if you're using it, you know, maybe a weekend and you're just sort of browsing the internet, you know, I could see why that would be sort of an attractive thing. I was also thinking perhaps, using multiple windows or multiple instances of it, perhaps, for various clients.
Okay.
If you're trying to track different sort of social mention or, you know. I wonder if that would work. At the moment, you need to log into Facebook to actually run the, run the browser. So
they're relying on that kind of Facebook infrastructure for
indeed,
the login. It's interesting, isn't it? I think there's this whole way that... so if you imagine that a lot of technologies are about making developing for the web easier, so kind of like MySQL and, you know, all these things are to make life easier. It's really interesting that you're starting to get that as well with Facebook and Twitter logins, isn't it? So it's like... You as a individual website owner, as a startup business, as a entrepreneur online, suddenly that's one less thing to worry about, that whole infrastructure of the membership database and getting someone to sign up for something new with putting in all their details when instantly they can just pull in their Facebook one. And plus that gives you huge potential there as well, because presumably then by making it your Facebook one, instantly you've got all your account details there. So you've got all your friends making it, because that's often the tipping point, isn't it, with a social technology, unless enough of your friends are using it, it's not very good, is it? You know, like you know, who uses so you know, Facebook works because all your friends are on there. If your friends weren't on there, Facebook would be a lot less compelling, wouldn't it? So I think that is an interesting,
it relies
one
on a critical mass,
yes,
which must be established at the beginning.
Yeah, so do you reckon people worth checking out, or is it kind of a bit
not worth the
hype?
It is closed beta at the moment, but I should be, well, actually, I've been told on screen that I'll be given some invitations to hand out. So anybody who wants to send me a quick tweet.
Yep.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The first one person to email in will get the invitation.
I think that's pretty much it. And, you know, maybe there'll be a sort of cue for that. But, have I given out my
Twitter? Say your Twitter, if anyone wants to.
I'm Mr. Graham, so that's M-R, Mr. Graham, which is G-R-A-E-M-E.
Yeah, so if you're after that, that's Rock Melt there. An interesting one. I mean, I'm not entirely convinced. I think the world has enough...
I can tell from the look on your face.
I mean, I think we've got enough browsers already, haven't we? I mean, that's my... you know, we've got what? There's four viable browsers at the moment, isn't there? In terms of, so you've got Internet Explorer, rightly or wrongly, still does very well.
Is that a viable browser?
Huh?
Internet Explorer?
Well, I mean...
Is it a browser?
I mean, the users, it's, you know... you know, it's got... people use it, don't they? I mean, yeah, personally, I switch between Firefox and Safari, depending on which computer I'm on. And I know a lot of people in the office use Chrome.
I'm a big Chrome fan. I'm on Chrome now, on the Mac, yes.
It's funny you should say, do we need more browsers? I think Netscape might have said that back in the 90s.
Do
we need more browsers? No, Firefox, don't bother.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, so that's Rock Mail. The final thing we wanted to talk about today, wasn't it really, Graham, was...
Actually, I've got one after this, but carry on.
Okay. Well, we were going to talk about...
I'm going to slip his in.
That's the actor said to the best trip. Cook Sauce. So, I don't know if many of you listening will have heard about this, but it was kind of a big Twitter storm about it. Yeah.
What, recently, Kelvin?
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of weeks or so.
Okay. Okay. The beginning of,
well, what is Cook Sauce then?
Well,
he's going to tell me.
It was all a little bit embarrassing for Cook Sauce, and it's ended up in something of a disaster. An article writer for Goad Cookery, mm-hmm, had put together a nice little recipe on her own site, which she later found reprinted on this Cook Sauce site.
Yeah, and it was an offline publication as well, like a local magazine.
It was printed, and so, you know, she wasn't particularly pleased that all of a sudden her work had been printed without
permission
her
or
knowing anything about it. I'd be interested to find out how she found out, actually.
I don't know if it was like a Google alert or something like that, or someone saying, oh, well, congratulations on being published in that magazine.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. Oh. I mean, maybe she actually... subscribe to Cook Sauce. Yeah. Anyway, she got in contact, and I think really the real trouble began when the first response she got was along the line of, well, it was on the internet. Didn't you want it published?
Yeah.
And everything kind of went downhill from there after sort of to-ing and throwing. Yeah. I think the lady was trying for quite a while to get in contact with Cook Sauce. She eventually got an email back from them, pretty much telling her why she should be pleased.
Yeah, that her content had been stolen.
This reminds me of a story we covered in Social Media White Noise, but I don't think it's the same thing. This is a recipe, a food recipe,
yeah,
is it?
Food recipe, yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
Oh, no. And so,
confused of internet marketing.
Yeah, I think to add insult to injury, anyway, in one of their responses, Cook Sauce kind of explained to this the woman who had written the original article that actually she should be even more pleased because the article had needed lots of editing.
Yeah. And wasn't that because it was kind of written in a traditional, like ye olde English?
It was
deliberate when she wrote it. It was supposed to be written in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she's kind of into medieval cooking and that side of things. So, yeah, that was quite sweet. But in the end, I suppose to cut that long story short, Neil Gaiman and Joe Scarley got together on Twitter as supporters, and it's all become a little bit of a bloodbath, to be honest, for poor old Cook Sauce. I can't help but feel a bit sorry.
Yeah, I mean, as wrong as she was to steal the content, as wrong as she was to send those kind of hugely arrogant emails in response, the reaction to that by the social media community was somewhat brutal, shall we say.
Okay.
Maybe not quite death threat level, but it was kind of pretty much everything I think.
Probably. I think it got pretty much that bad, to be honest. Yeah, it did get, as I say, to the sort of mausoleum stage.
Yeah.
There was, I don't know, I understand. It's one of the reasons I love the internet is that people can share these ideas and share, any problems they have with other people.
Yeah.
But this mob mentality, which starts to form, especially around sort of maybe more celebrity supporters,
it had pretty bad news, wasn't it? They don't know how connected it was, but Cook Sauce was kind of an offline publication that perhaps hadn't been doing particularly well, and the consequence of this, I think they decided just to pack it in, didn't they, afterwards, which is a bit sad. But it also highlights here some really interesting dynamics about ownership, copyright, and the like online. Because on the one hand, you've got the internet being used for the most widespread copyright violations, is maybe not the right word, but kind of interesting interpretation of fair use on that side of things. But then you've got, similarly, people saying here, well, if I produce it and someone steals it, it's very, very bad. If a big corporation produces it and I copy it, that's okay.
Mm.
So there's a real kind of conflict there that I think it's going to run and run for years and years. But I think it's interesting, that whole dynamic of what's going on here. And, it's a interesting case study to look into, I think, for people who are interested in copyright, and attribution and all that kind of thing around online.
The whole story reminds me very quickly of quite a large cookery blog. I think it was around the sort of Netherlands, who went out and basically found anybody who'd copied any of their images from Google Images and were trying to charge them inordinate amounts of money to use these images. And how, of course, at the time, I suppose social media wasn't quite so big.
Yeah.
But there was quite an upraise. you know, against the people who were complaining about having their copyright.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it's...
two sides to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's very much two sides, yeah.
You had an interjection, Andy.
I did. Well, don't get me started on this whole copyright thing, because I'll just be here for hours. But I just wanted to quickly mention Networking Roulette, which is a site I discovered a few days ago. The actual website is Brazen Careerist, and I think it's .com, but we'll put a link in the show notes. But Networking Roulette is quite an interesting concept. I think it's the first time this has been done, so it's all geared towards helping you actually meet people online. Okay. The way it works is... It's fairly early days for it, so I think you have to... I'll explain how you use it in a minute. But basically, the idea is that you go online, you say what you're after, you say what you can give, and you're randomly connected with another person, and it's kind of texting backwards and forwards. So it's not too scary. It's not video. It's like a texting type thing in real time, backwards and forwards. And then I think you've got 3 minutes after that to decide if you want to connect up with a person. And if it's a mutual thing, you can connect up with them.
So it's almost like speed dating for LinkedIn.
Mm. It's like speed dating, but for professional networking.
Okay.
And I think it's fairly early days. So whether or not you'll actually get linked up to someone just going on randomly is I'm not quite sure. But certainly they have events at certain times. So if you go on one, there's an event going on, and I think the events are sort of oriented towards certain types of people that want to meet types of people, if that makes any sense. So check that out. It's Brazen Careerist, I think it's .com. We'll put a link in the show notes.
I mean, that's an interesting concept, isn't it? Because it's, in some ways, it's very easy now to find people potentially to contact with, be it on Twitter, be it on Facebook, be it on LinkedIn. It's very easy to find them, but what's very difficult is to strike up that initial conversation people, and I suppose that's where it can help, isn't it? I know that, like, a lot of my best online connections have come from meeting people offline. I can see that taking that kind of real reason to have a conversation with someone like that, even if it is serendipity, would be quite a good approach.
Yeah, an interesting challenge that they might sort of run into will be we've spoken about reaching that sort of term
critical mass
of people as part of, you know, as members of whichever social group you're in. And as well as having to worry about the number of members they have signed up, they also have to worry about the number of members they have online at any one time.
And they've kind of got around that by having these events where which encourage people to come on at the same time, which is, I think, is very clever actually.
It'd be interesting though, how long is it till people start gaming the system? Do you know what I mean? That's the when you start getting people trying to like game the system, that's when you've made it, I think, really, is that you kind of reach that point where it's...
So how would you game this system?
Well, we'll say I then connect 50 times and then I'm connected to 50 people rather than one person. You know, I'm sure there's probably ways of doing that if you're so inclined, but that sort of defeats the object, doesn't it, really? But, you know, where there's an opportunity to take advantage of something, someone online will.
And we'll leave it there with episode 97. So thanks for listening. I have been Andy White.
I've been Kelvin Newman.
And I've been Graham Benstead.
And we'll see you next week on Internet Marketing. Thanks for listening. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.